Like all the rest of the 1,189 chapters altogether, this chapter in particular is a 3.6 grade level. We've had an easy time understanding it. But as we look here in verse number 57, the Bible says, "And they that laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and elders were assembled. But Peter followed them afar off into the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, and yet found they none. At last came two false witnesses and said, 'This fellow said, I am able to destroy both the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.' And the high priest arose and said unto him, 'Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses against thee?' But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, 'I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God.' Jesus saith unto him, 'Thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven.' Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, 'He hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye?' They answered and said, 'He is guilty of death.' Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, 'Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee?'" As we look to this morning in the Word of God in these verses, I want to talk to you this morning about the majority vote. The majority vote. So let's go to the Lord in prayer as we look at the majority vote. Father, we do love you. We thank you today, God, for letting us be here and be alive. What a privilege and honor it is to be in the house of God. And Lord, while we're here, we pray, God, that you'll add the blessing to your word today, Lord. We know it don't return back to you void. We pray it don't return back here void as well. God, that it'll go forth and bring forth fruit in folks' lives. Help us with our understanding, according to Psalm 119, verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And Lord, I pray today, God, that you'd help me, Lord God, as I preach, according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For us in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look today at the majority vote, over the course of Bible history and in today's history, a lot of things have been voted in by the majority, but the majority is not always right.
Right.
For instance, when they sent out spies into Canaan's land, they sent one from each tribe of Israel. They come back with a 10-2 vote that they should not go in. I guess they really enjoyed the wilderness, or they lied or whatever, but they said, "We can't go in. There's giants in the land." Well, God is bigger than any giant in your life or in any land. And as we've seen through the scriptures, we saw what God did with giants in 1 Samuel chapter 17. What did he do? Took them down.
Right.
David come up against a giant that was well taller than him, older than him, more vicious, a vicious killer is what he was. A trained assassin by the Philistines. And how tall was he? 9 feet and something tall. I mean, huge man. God took him right down.
Right.
And we see that these giants that they said they saw over there, after they go in there, you never hear about them again. Were they lying? Or were they just too busy saying, "We can't," that they couldn't get past that? And listen, if you're going to ever do anything for God, you got to take God's direction and go whether the majority goes with you or not. I've heard people say, "Well, I would go into ministry, but you know, my majority of people around me have advised me not to." They'd advise Jesus Christ not to be crucified too. If you go look at the majority of the 12, his own people, not so, Lord, not so. Right. In fact, I'll say this: they had a unanimous vote against our Lord. It wasn't just majority; it was unanimous. They come here and they say, "What has this man done? Bring the witnesses in." And they brought in false witnesses and told everything but the truth. And we see that when they voted, the majority said, "Yeah, let's do it. Crucify him. Crucify him." And if you'll notice, I want to show you today the motives of this majority. Number one, if you look down at verse 57, we'll see the first motive is their assembly. The deck is stacked before he ever walks in the room. Listen to this. Verse 57, Caiaphas, the high priest, there's one guy right there. He's not going to be impartial. And then it says there the scribes, they're not going to be impartial because there's many times they would come to him. They're the political type people of the day. They're the scripture writing people of the day and copying people and things. He's rebuked them so many times. It says the elders were there. That's the older men that was there. And then look, verse 58, look who shows up. What was he supposed to be? Listen to this. Down by the Sea of Galilee waiting on our Lord. What was he at? Trying to follow into a place he wasn't supposed to be. And then it says there that the servants were there. And Peter sat with the servants. So as we look at the assembly, we got one guy possibly for the Lord that has no say. We got the servants who are impartial but is going to do what the master's saying. You got Caiaphas, the high priest, who, if he meets Jesus Christ as who he says he is, has resigned his office and handed it to him. And he is who he says he is. And after Caiaphas has long been dead, but the high priest stands before Caiaphas now. Then you got the scribes there. Then you got the elders there. They've got their whole assembly there. And their motive was not to have a fair trial. If it was, they would have had a judge at this trial. The way you do a trial in those days, the high priest would be there, a judge would be there, your lawyers and so forth like that. They had none. Jesus didn't even have a lawyer. You know why? He is one. If you look on 1 John chapter 2, the Bible says we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. An advocate's the attorney.
Right.
He's self-represented because he couldn't find no better than him to do it. How about that?
Right.
And another thing about trials, they're never to be held at night, only in the daytime. And that's according to Levitical law. And then Roman law was the same. They didn't have trials at night. And after looking at all that, I have to say this. Their motive is they assembled only people they wanted to be there to testify only what they wanted to hear. You know what they sound like? They sound like the modernistic liberal church. They don't hear about the Lord. But if he mentions his name, he's going to be a straw man that they've made up. He's not the holy God of heaven. He's not God manifest in the flesh. He's something else. And I notice that we see all these people. We see their assault. Verse 59, it says this. It says, now the chief priests and elders of all the council sought false witnesses against Jesus to put him to death. There it is. There's the real reason why they're there. They're going to assault him in that manner. He said, but they found none. You know, when they brought him before Pilate, he said, I find no fault in this man. You know why? He's perfect.
Right.
He's sinless. He's the virgin-born Son of God. He's the one that's referred to as being in the Song of Solomon as the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley. He's the one that's the creator and sustainer of all life. And they don't know what to do with him other than kill him.
Right.
Isn't that something? It says, and they found none in verse 68, though many false witnesses came, they found none. We still got a lot of false witnesses that testify of the wrong things against Jesus. Let me tell you some of their quotes. I tried church one time and those people were mean. I rarely went into a church and been treated mean except a time or two here and there. If I were to have quit church because of the way people treated me, when I first got saved, I found out that the school I went to was going to Bible college, and clothes closet for preachers. So I went in there, and it was the 90s, so I got the 70 suits out of there. I was wearing Johnny Carson, baby. People in the church we went to made fun of me behind my back. Guess what? I didn't care. Then I found out that we got a Goodwill store, went up there, and I was still thin at the time, and thin people die all the time. You find all your clothes up there, fat people can't, but I was thin. I got a suit or two from up there, and they talked even more. Come down here and took this church, they talked about us then. So guess what? They're still talking. If they're alive, I mean, you know. And you know what? The whole time I've been noticing this. They'll assault you on your person. They'll assault your family. Listen, we've had people say, my wife stayed home with these handicapped kids and the kids wasn't really sick. Please. Were they sick? Yeah, they were. May God give you a child that's not like ours because I don't think you could handle it. Those of you that would say that. Of course, there's none here today, are they? Well, you better not admit it if you are. Because the rest of us are going to jump on you. That's what's going to happen. We got 10 acres back there. We can go fight you, all of us, at one time. Amen. Listen. I see people that are salt on our Lord. They'll assault you with the same thing. You say, I believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. Here comes the arrows. Well, history and facts and blah, blah, blah. Facts are manipulated, but truth stands. While I've been saying this Bible don't work and you've been having to take it on the chin, why don't you study some and read some things and get this thing down. Stay in the Word of God and don't let that bother you. Keep staying in there with it. Because one thing's going to happen eventually. They're going to give in eventually. Let me tell you why. They'll either do it in life or they'll do it in death. There's nobody that goes to heaven, that gets to heaven and says, I don't believe there's a perfect Bible anywhere on earth. Nobody believes that in heaven. And nobody believes that in hell either.
Right.
I noticed that the assault came. The Lord, he was dragged off at night, of course. They went and arrested him in a legal way. There's no official judge present. There's two bribed witnesses show up down there. It says that verse 60, the very last part, says at the last came two false witnesses. Here's how it works out. This is what he said. Verse 61. He says, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days. Did Jesus say that? If you look over at John chapter 2, I believe it is. Did our Lord say that? Did he say, I'll destroy this temple and build it in 3 days? You'd be surprised when you read the Bible what you find out here. John chapter 2. Look at verse 19. Here's what he actually said. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple. Not I'm going to destroy it. Destroy it. And in 3 days I will raise it up. Now that quote is different than what we have over here. This fellow said, destroy the temple of God. And to build it in 3 days, I'll take it. He lied. Number one, he was not talking about Solomon's temple, the part that still stood. He wasn't talking about that. He's talking about himself. He didn't say, if you destroy it, he said, destroy it, and I'll raise it up in 3 days. They're fixing to destroy that temple right here. They're not assaulting Solomon. They're assaulting the temple of God. And see, when you've got a Bible that says he's God manifest in flesh, that's where God dwells. He dwells in Jesus Christ. Now notice this. Then verse 62 says, and the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses against thee? Look at that next verse. I want you to underline this. But Jesus held his peace. When people are lying to your face and accusing you of something that's a lie, you don't have to answer them. Your Lord didn't. He didn't say that. But what we do is, we're so hot-tempered and high-minded and proud that when somebody says something, we jump on immediately. We fire back. You need to take some lessons from your Lord. When they assault you, let God handle them. Hold your place here. Look at Romans chapter 12. I'm going to show you something that will change your life if you'll do it. If you just read it and agree with it, you'll never do nothing with this. But if you would apply this to your life, God will change your lives over this. Now, we've got the Apostle Paul writing in Romans chapter 12. And if you take the picture we just looked at, they accused Jesus, he held his peace. Romans chapter 12, verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Did you read that? Avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, and it's written, it says, in Deuteronomy 32, verse 35, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Uh-oh. If you don't defend yourself and you've been lied on, it's okay. God will avenge you. If you'll let that thing and apply that thing to your life and stay on the path of the Lord and walk with Jesus and let the accusers, if they're lying, let them lie. God will shut them down.
Right.
And the thing we get so tore up at is he don't do it when we want him to do it, but when he does it, the wheels of justice grind slow, but boy, they grind fine when God's at the meal. Mm-hmm. There's going to come a time when you're going to see God take people. If you'll just keep your mouth shut, when they're lying on you, God will take care of them. There's been a many early graves for people that have stood up against God's people, lied on them, and tried to oppress people and put them down. And some of you in your Christian walk, you've had been attacked, you have been lied on, and God was your reward for the thing.
Right.
You didn't say nothing, so He said, "Stand back, I'll take care of it," and He takes care of it.
Right.
See, their motive, their assembly was biased. Their assault came, and it was a majority. Notice the next verse there. Jesus held His peace in verse 63. The high priest answered and said unto him, "I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." Now He's going to get into some territory with him, and He's just got him to go under oath right there. And under oath, He said, do you swear to tell the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God? There's a reason why they do that in court. They want you to swear by the living God that you're telling the truth. I've heard people say, "Well, I don't swear. I tell them I do solemnly affirm." Whichever. Get up there and tell the truth. Did you see this man walk down the street at 4 o'clock in the afternoon? Yes, I did, Your Honor. What was he doing? He was walking out in traffic and staggering back and forth. The attorney for the opposition, you know, he says, "I object. Dumbest thing I've ever seen in court. I'm sitting there watching a guy be tried for DUI. Highway patrolman pulls up, there's the camera. We're all watching it right there in the courtroom. Patrolman goes up there. Roll your window down. And the guy's head says, bump, right up against the thing. He said, "Sir, wake up." So he pulled the door open, and the second patrolman got there at the time and caught the guy as he fell out. He reached in there and cut the truck off, and they got the guy out. They stood him up. "Are you okay? You all right? Is there something wrong with you?" And you can see they're trying to do all stuff. Then they tried to get this guy to walk a white line. He made one step. It went right through the pavement, and his face hit the pavement. They showed all that. The guy that was the attorney over here, the prosecution, he said, "We rest our case." The prosecution got up and said, "Now, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, there was no audio on this tape. So, therefore, you didn't hear my client admit to nothing." "We don't have to hear him. He fell out. They took him to the hospital. He had enough blood out on him. He could have started his own steel out of his own veins." The jury's over there watching this. They're hearing this guy. They took 10 minutes to deliberate it, by the way. 10 minutes. It took them 5 minutes to get him out of courtroom, 5 minutes to get back in. That quick. Judge said, "Guilty." That's a fair trial. No matter what he said and what they said, they had a video witness of it. Boy, video drunks what you say and I say every time, don't it? Now watch this. "I adjure thee by the living God, are you the Christ? Are you the Son of God?" Look at verse 64. Jesus saith him, "Thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Their assault is about to start. They've had a verbal assault. They've had a truth. They've assaulted the truth of the thing. And he says, "Thou hast said." And what did he say? "Hereafter you shall see something." He's saying, "You're having your day now, but I'll have mine down the road." It's been 2,000 years and some odd time since that trial. And since that time, they've had their day. They've mocked him. They spit on him. They tried to kill every follower he has. They've tried to burn every Bible. They've tried everything they can. And yet the Lord's coming soon. Oh, don't worry about his death. He's alive and well. Just like he said, in 3 days, I'll raise it up. He got up and prayed. I had people tell me, they said, "Well, they found Jesus over in such and such." They ain't found Jesus over in no tomb. There's three of them over in Jerusalem right now. So, you know, a little doubt you come and see where Jesus was raised from the dead. Don't fall for them gimmicks. Where he rose from the dead is not important as this. Where does he live now?
Right.
Somebody told me they went to the overseas. The guy told me 10 years ago, I went overseas and got baptized in the River Jordan. I said, why in the name of God did you get baptized in the River Jordan? He said, everybody else is doing it. You know, I got baptized at in a Baptist in a church. That was my only one I needed.
Right.
I'm not going to Jordan and get no river.
Right.
Not going to do it. You know why? That's blasphemous at best. At the least, it's pitiful you'd even do something like that. Amen.
Amen.
Now watch. He's in this place. He tells them, he said, hereafter. Hereafter what? Shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power? Oh my goodness, did they see that? I believe we read Acts chapter 7 towards the end of the chapter. He's sitting on the right hand of power.
Yep.
Who done this to Jesus? Oh, the same folks that done it to Stephen. What did Jesus say about him? Father, forgive him. What did Stephen say? Father, forgive him.
Yep.
I notice not only their assembly and their assault, but if you look down at verse 65, you see their assessment. He says here, then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witness? Behold, we now have heard this blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, he is guilty of death. They have no right to pass that sentence. There's not a judge there. They've had a kangaroo court where they've done all this. And listen, then did they spit in his face and buffeted him. It says, and others smote him with the palm of their hand, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ. Who is he that smote thee? They voted unanimously, and they violated unanimously as well. Their assessment of what that needs to be done is far away from what the books of the law and the Bible would have said to the Jew of that day. He never had a fair trial. He never had a judge at that trial. He never had any... And listen... The violent scene that happens next is not outside, it's in the courtroom. Can you imagine going to a courtroom and everybody start beating on one guy like that? Now, if they did that to a guilty person, if they marched a pedophile in there and they had all the evidence against him, I could half see that. If they brought a guy that raped a woman there and had evidence on it, they did, I could half see that. You could too. We got an innocent man right here who's done nothing but good. The whole 3.5 years was public ministry. When they were hungry, he fed them. When they tried to surround a woman in adultery, they attacked her and was going to stone her to death. What says the law? And Jesus said, you know, he started writing things in the dirt around them. They all took off. I just wonder if he wrote, where was the man at? Because it does take two to commit that act.
Yeah.
Or did he write in front of one of them, thou art the man, like Nathan told David? Boy, that'd been something, wouldn't it? When there was dead people that come by the funeral, he'd touch the casket, they'd be alive. Listen to me. When they called for him and said, Lazarus is sick unto death, he did nothing. He waited till he died. Then he showed up because he had a message for everybody. I am the resurrection and the life.
Yep.
Are you holding out for him? Listen. The miracles he performed, the people he fed, the dead he raised to life, and they assault him over it. I know this. If somebody comes along and they say they're the Son of God, there's one thing about them they can do that nobody else can do. They can't have death around them. But yet all these false Christs of our day, boy, that's all they study is death. Had them all over the world like this. There's people that claim they're Christ right now in this world. So how do you know? Because he calls himself the Pope. That official title is God in the flesh. That's who they think he is. They think Jesus was the first one, then Peter, and the succession has come on down to the current drunk that's over there right now. Some drunk bachelor wearing a dress is going to tell you he's the Holy Father. How blasphemous. They don't try him.
Yep.
You know, I saw the other day, saw a picture of him with the Ayatollah of Iran. You can't tell who the good guys and the bad guys are anymore. He had the Ayatollah dressed in all black with a big old gray beard. You got that stupid drunk Pope over here all white. Who's the good guys and bad guys in that Western? You can't tell anymore. I'll give you a clue. They're all bad. I notice as they come to assault him, they do so by hitting him, it says. But watch this. The first thing they did was spit in his face. That's the ultimate disrespect to another human being, to spit in their face. They spit in his face, it says, and they buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands. If you get a picture of this, they're open hands slapping him in his face. Right in the face. And then they have the gall to say, prophesy unto us, who hit thee? Why were they saying that? Well, either they had just beat his eyes shut, or they had something around his eyes where he couldn't see and that's hitting him. Why were they doing that? Because they're wicked and evil. And given the chance today, in the courtroom right uptown, with the same Jesus, they'd do it again. Isaiah 53 has confused Jews for years. Is that talking about the Christ? Is that talking about the nation of Israel? What is that talking about? It's talking about him right here.
Right.
He's that suffering servant that came and was beat half to death before he's crucified.
Yeah.
And before they ever go to the next place, they're mocking him, they're beating him, they're taking their fists, they're buffeting him with their fists. And before he ever goes to see anybody else, when he gets there, he's going to look like a train hit him. Let me ask you this. How do you find Jesus? What's your judgment on him? What's your assessment of the Son of God? So I'm not like them. Good. But do you think he's the Son of God? They, of course, didn't. That some of them, they actually may have believed he's the Son of God, but they couldn't go against the majority. Boy, they'd kick him off the council. Well, you need to be kicked off the council. If somebody told me, we're going to let you on the council, but you can't say that name, well, we ain't going.
Amen.
It's not going to happen because we're not going to do like that by him. So why is that? Because I know where he went through and where he found me at. And if he come found me like I was and accepted me, I can accept him as the perfect holy Son of God and never think a thing about it. I notice that when we say, how do you find Jesus? You find him guilty? You find him innocent? Is he the Son of God? But here's the question. Is he the Savior he claims to be? Savior is a title, but it's also a person. Being saved is an action, but it's an action only God can take your way.
Right.
He's made the offer. You have to accept his offer. But he's still the one that does the saving.
Right.
It's not a prayer you say. It's not a vow you make. It's not a change in your life so much as it is confession that he is the Son of God, that he was buried after he was crucified for your sins and rose 3 days later. A lot of people have no problem admitting Jesus was a person. They have no problem admitting he was crucified. Those are historical facts. What gets them is, do you believe he got up from the dead? Do you believe he rose from the dead and justified you? Do you believe that's him? Do you believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ is sufficient to save sinners? Either he is or he's not.
Right.
If you're going to go to heaven, here's the path right here. It's through him.
Amen.
But if you want to go to hell, pick anything you want. They're all the same. Any works-based religion, whether it's Mohammedism, Russellism, Mormonism, Catholicism, atheism, all of them are the same. They're all faith-based works programs where you determine whether you go to heaven or not. Whether we go to heaven or not is determined whether Jesus did this. It's not based on us at all. Did he die for your sins? Does his blood cover all your sins? Dear Christian, eternal life means forever. Have you got that? Said, no, I got everlasting life. You can't have one without the other.
Right.
For you to have everlasting life means there's a beginning and no end. Eternal life's no beginning and no end. He comes to where you are, now you're going with him. Plain and simple. But what if I sin? Listen, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous.
Yeah.
If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the Savior they're beating up. That's the Savior they're finding guilty.
Right.
That's the Savior they paid two false witnesses to lie about. That's the Son of God.
Amen.
That's him. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we love you.